The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Today we're going to continue in our series on God. So I'll go ahead and give you the title from the very beginning. The title is God Part 4, Jesus' Present Day Roles. In other words, what is Jesus doing today? When we think on this topic, we realize very, very quickly that there are some obvious present-day roles of Jesus seen in the Scriptures, both Old and the New Testament. And at the same time, we also can see that there are some that are not so obvious present-day roles of Jesus when we actually think on this particular topic of what is Jesus doing. So first of all, we're going to look at some, not all, but some of Jesus' more obvious roles that he is doing today, and then we're going to look at some of those not so obvious roles that Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, is doing. So let's get started. And I am going to have these numbered so I can keep up with it. Number one, living Savior. If you would go with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, Romans 5 and verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, and we were, and that's what this verse is saying, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, living Savior. Now, if you would go with me to Luke 9 and verse 56, Luke 9:56. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And then the verse says, and then they went to another village. So he is obviously, we see, he is living Savior today. And on probably every one of these, we could spend much more time than we're going to. But let's move on. Number two, high priest. During the 40 days after Jesus was resurrected, he spoke to his apostles about several topics. And the primary, if you actually take a look at it, and you will see, the primary topic was about the kingdom of God. Go with me to Acts chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1, Acts 1, verse 1, 1 through 4. Verse 1, the former thesis that I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. He's talking about what I wrote before, which of course is the book of Luke. Verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, in other words, after he had been crucified, now he's resurrected, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, there's an understood, and he, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. And then, as we know, he ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of God the Father. This was the beginning of a very important ministry, or as I'm using in this sermon, role on the behalf of his people, to take on that responsibility of being high priest. And we haven't really seen that part, but so we're going to see this. This present day role of Jesus is based upon his once for all sin offering on the cross. So go with me to Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews 7 verse 27, Hebrews 7, 27, and we're going to read this from the NIV. The New International Version, Hebrews 7:27. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Now if you'll go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, I'm going to read this out of the English Standard Version, 10 verse 12. But when Christ had offered for all one time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And I think here would be a good place for us to ask and consider some questions, to actually think on these things. Questions such as, what important role is he performing for us today before God? Another question is, as believers in Jesus Christ, how important is for us to understand what Jesus is doing on our behalf? And what should be our personal response to his present day roles? Brethren, I am not aware of any other subject that is greater or that is more immediate importance to us as God's people today than this one that we're looking at. One very important present-day role of Jesus Christ is that of high priest. And I think it is one of the most important, if not the most important. All of them are important. We need them all. He's doing them all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. He's doing them all. We need them all. This one is more important. Because, brethren, I think we understand Jesus Christ was appointed by God as high priest for his people, for us, for the church of God today. We're here in Hebrews. Let's continue here in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 1. And again, I want to read this from the NIV. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant, in other words, don't understand all of it, and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. He's talking about Aaron and his sons continuing on down through those times. Verse 3. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron were. Now, he's describing here the Old Testament high priest. Now, we're getting into Jesus Christ, but we're still backing this up. Verse 5. In the same way, we're talking about that Jesus was appointed by God to this position, this responsibility. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, and another place is in Psalm 110 and verse 4, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." And was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." So it's very clear, we're seeing that he is the high priest and he was appointed to be high priest by God the Father. Hebrews chapter 7. I'm going to spend more time on this one because I said I think it is the most important one for us to understand the ramification of all of this. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, NIV. "Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. And here is an important point for us to understand. This role of high priest today, is only for the people of God, the church. There's a time coming when it's going to be for all, but today he is our high priest. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, reading this from the New American Standard Bible, Hebrews 2, 17 and 18, verse 17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted and all that which he has suffered, he is able to come to aid to those who are tempted. Today, that's talking about the church of God. The time is coming when he is going to be the high priest for all humanity, for all peace people. So what I think we understand here is after Jesus was appointed high priest by the Father, he sat down at the right hand of God in the heavenly sanctuary and the Holy of Holies, indicating his once for all sin offering is sufficient to make appeasement, reconciliation for people for all time. Today, he's doing it for us. Unlike the animal sacrifices that were offered by Aaron and then the rest of his sons and who became the high priest after him, Jesus once for all sacrifice permitted him to sit down next to the Father. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Hebrews 10 and verse 1. For the law, since it has only a shadow of good things to come and not for the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. It says it can't be done. Can't be done. Verse 2. Otherwise, whom they have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have consciousness of sins. In other words, if one time covered it, then there would be no need to continue to do it because they wouldn't be aware of sins because they've been done away. Verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Drop down, if you would, to verse 11. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Verse 12. But he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. And his present day role as our high priest is to offer propitiation for our sins. We read that. We stated that. We see that. I want to read again. We read this, but it's in Hebrews chapter 2, 17 and 18. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or to help or to aid those that are tempted. Go with me now to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we profess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is part of the job. This is what he's doing. This is the point. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Continuing on, chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So I'm making the point that he covers our sins, and today he is doing the role, his present day role of high priest is for us, it's for the church, for the people today. Time is coming when it's going to be for all of mankind. Number 3, captain of our salvation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. The question has been asked, well, why did Jesus have to go through all of this? Well, he did it for us, so that he would be the captain of our salvation. He's in charge. Number 4, author and finisher of our faith. The word author, we could just as easily put in the word, I use author and finisher because that's what the King James says, but we could just as easily put in beginner and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Hebrews 12 verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that is set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Number 5. Head of the church. These are present day roles. This is what Jesus is doing today. He's the head of the church. Colossians 1, 16 through 18. Colossians 1, 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven or that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the church. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now I know the first part of those verses is talking about what we covered in the last one. What did Jesus do before he became flesh and blood and bone human being? Those are the things he did. He was a creator. He was the God of the Old Testament. Well, what is he doing now? He's carrying it out. Some of these things are continuing on. Ephesians 1, verse 22. Ephesians 1, 22. And hath put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So, those are some of the more obvious things that Jesus is doing today. And so now let's take a look at some of the not so obvious present day roles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Preparing a place for us, the bride. John 14, verse 1. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. It's one of his present-day roles. He's preparing a place for us, for the church, for his bride. We could go into the symbolisms that are seen in Jewish weddings. They don't understand the symbolisms in their own weddings, but it pictures all of this. We're not going in this. We've actually done this in times past. Okay, let's go on. The next one that is not necessarily always thought of whenever we talk about the present-day roles of Jesus. The next one is, he is at the right hand of the Father. There's a role, there's a responsibility in that. Hebrews 10, verse 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There is a responsibility in that. This verse helps us understand this. He is the author and finisher of our faith for the joy that was set before him. What's the joy that is set before us? Being in the family of God, being part of the bride of Jesus Christ. And he's there working, preparing. Part of his job today is doing those things at the right hand of the Father. The next thing is makes intercession for us. Hebrews 7, verse 24, but this man, because he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them in the uttermost that came unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. That's a very big and important responsibility, something that Jesus is doing today. But it's not necessarily something that we automatically think of. It is something we need to think of. Romans 8, verse 34. Romans 8, 34. Who is he that condemns? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. In other words, what it is saying is he goes in before God on our behalf. He's there at the right hand, and he goes before God on our behalf. It's something that he is doing today. Kind of ties in with it. The next point that I want to do is he is appearing in heaven for us. It's kind of the same thing. But go to Hebrews 9, verse 23. Hebrews 9, 24. Hebrews 9, 23 and 24. Verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than those. What's going on today? What went back in, making the comparison. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but he has entered into, I read a word in, he has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. The Revised Standard says, on our behalf. The next one is, he hears our prayers. He hears our prayers. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Proverbs 18, 24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's Jesus. Acts 1, verse 23. And they appointed to Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, Lord. They're praying to Jesus. They're asking Jesus, which knows the hearts of all men, show whether of these two you have chosen, that he may take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lot, and the lots fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. They asked Jesus to show us which one. Acts 7, verse 56. But he, and this is Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. If you actually look at all of this and read the whole context, what was going on was Stephen is praying. Jesus is there for him, to hear him, to intercede for him, and this is what he saw that. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 12, and verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times that it might depart from me. Of course, this is Paul. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, this is now Paul speaking, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Apparently, he was asking Jesus to answer his prayers here. Jesus answered it. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. He hears our prayers. The next one. He's giving grace to us as his people, as the church. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Like I said, we could spend time more on every one of these, but some just wanted to do the one. I'm just trying to get the points across. The next one, he is strengthening and protecting his people, the church of God, today. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. This is from the NIV. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We can claim that. Could we still be bothered by the evil one? Of course we could. And there's a lot of reasons as to why that could happen. We could still be bothered by. But he is there. Jesus is there for us. He is faithful, and he will strengthen us and protect us from the evil one. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The next one is, he gives revelation to members of his body. Galatians 1, verse 11 and 12. Galatians 1, verse 11. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to men, for I neither received it from men, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Could we receive revelation from Jesus Christ? Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't have to be ministry, doesn't have to be apostles, but can we? Yes, we need to be careful at the, you know, how this works, but yes, it could be. This is what we are seeing. Another thing that he is presently doing is he gives ministry, services, and gifts to believers. Now, I know because of some things that have happened over the past few years, some people in the church are bothered by the ministry and they don't have any need for the ministry. Wrong answer. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Ephesians 4, verse 11. For he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. The ministry is a gift of God through Jesus to the church. Does it mean all ministry are doing all the things they need to be doing? That's not what it says. He said he gave them as gifts. It didn't say they all are going to do what they need to be doing. Don't get upset with the ministry and God get a responsibility given to the ministry. Get upset at the individual minister. Verse 13, we continue on. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He gave the ministry and these various gifts and things to the ministry, including the ministry, to the church to edify the body. Romans 12, verse 4 through 8. Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then he lists, whether that be gifts or whether it be prophecy, let us prophesy. Whether it be the ministry, let us wait on ministering. Or he that teaches on teaching. Or he that exhorts on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. And he's talking about the members have these gifts given to the church, to serve the church, to edify the church through given Jesus, by Jesus Christ. The next one. Present day, he is commander of the angels. In other words, we could look at it like this. The world today is a war zone being fought primarily in the spirit realm. And angels are to serve God's people. Jesus is in charge. He commands them. He's their commander. Hebrews 1, verse 4. Hebrews 1, verse 4. Being made so that much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, you are my son, this day have I begotten you, and again I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. Which angel has ever said that to any angel? None. Said it to Jesus. And he's in charge of that angelic realm today. Hebrews 1 verse 14. Hebrews 1:14, NIV. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? They're to be serving people under the direction of Jesus Christ. The next one, preparing to raise the dead, is one of his present day roles. John 5, verse 21. John 5, 21. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will, makes alive. Philippians 3, 20. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He is preparing today to raise the dead, us, to be changed at that moment in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then when we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. He's preparing to raise the dead. We just had a prayer request about the death of a member in the body of Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to that. We should be comforting one another with that. We're looking forward to that. Jesus is working at that today. The next one, preparing to return as the judge. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Come over to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Then another one along that line, he is now judging the church. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel of Christ? The next one, he is preparing his bride for his and their, our wedding. Revelation 19:7. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife has made herself ready. He is preparing. Are we? Because it says the bride, the wife, is ready, has made herself ready. Another one, he is perfecting the saints. These are all present-day roles, things that Jesus is doing. He is perfecting the saints. Ephesians 4:11. For he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. I know we read this before, but it ties in. And some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, and to the perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's preparing the church, us, the saints today, to be perfected. The next one I have, probably some of you are saying, yay. This one is preparing for his soon return. Revelation 1:7. Revelation 1:7. This is from the New American Standard Bible. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. The Aaronic Blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Happy Sabbath. God bless you all. We love you all very much.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.